Our Hebrew lesson today comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 15a, which is found in your pew Bible on page 311. And those who are using the large print Bible, it's found on page 404. And if you ever had a crisis of faith and you think life isn't going the way you should as a Christian, and your expectations have been violated, this is a story for you. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He had left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, for there the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the sound, fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture today is our responsive psalm reading, Psalm 42, found on page 777 to 778 in your hymnal. "As a deer longs for the flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me, continue, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving and multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, whom again I shall praise, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to the deep as the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves in your bellows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, God's song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I mourn because of the oppression of the enemy? Like the deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me. They say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, whom I again shall praise, my help and my God. Amen.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. It can be found on page 178 in your New Testament Pew Bible and on page 230 in the large print Bible. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. You can find it in the large print Bible on page 82 of the New Testament and in the regular pew Bibles on page 63 of the New Testament. I'm a visual learner, so I always try to find an image for the cover of the bulletin that encompasses the story or a story. And if you look at that image, you will hear it in words now. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and it is in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. My sisters and brothers, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, a funny story to start. Tuesday morning, I had to go to the University of Colorado Hospital to get my annual ultrasound test to look at an aneurysm on my celiac artery. It's a condition I've had for years, and it's stable. Anyway, when you have a sonogram done, they have you stripped down to absolute buck naked, just like the day you were born, and put on one of those silly hospital gowns that I can't figure out if it's supposed to open in the front or the back. Then they want you to lie on the gurney and wait there patiently for the technician to come. Well, the irony is that they end up spreading that jelly on an area of my belly that is about 10 inches by 10 inches, just below my rib cage. But in order to do that, they want to make sure that you're stark naked. Well, as I lay there throughout the procedure, I couldn't help but think about the fact that to this friendly ultrasound technician, I was nothing but a name and a human body. She didn't know, or for that matter, she didn't care, that I am a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, a United Methodist pastor, a husband, a father, a brother, and a friend. And that reminds me of an old expression that I'm sure many of you know, clothes make the man. Or equally true, clothes make the woman. Well, if you look up that expression, it comes back with the meaning that people will judge you according to the way you dress. Clothes make the man. Well, I chuckled at that because buck naked under that hospital gown, there was nothing by which I could be judged. One of my all-time favorite writers, Mark Twain, had something to say about that. Clothes make the man. Naked people have little or no influence on society. Well, two of today's scripture readings speak of clothing, and specifically what it means to be clothed with Christ. So let's think about this together, shall we? Now, I hope I didn't shock anyone with the image on the cover of the bulletin. There is a naked man there. The Texas ladies look closer. I'm sorry, that's not in the sermon. I apologize. I would look closer, okay? It's just... But as you just heard, this is the scene from the start of the gospel story from Luke. Jesus and the disciples had just come across the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you go back in the Bible, if you look at the story, that will probably be familiar as well. There had been that horrible storm on the lake, and the disciples were convinced that they were going to die. Jesus questioned their faith, and then he calmed the wind and the waves, and they passed safely across the lake. Well, here's the scene on the bulletin cover. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" The point here is that this poor man is naked, living among the graves with all these demons inside him, and Scripture has nothing more to say about who he is. He is buck naked and without any identity. Well, you know how it goes from there. Jesus calls out the demons. They enter the pigs. The pigs run down the steep bank to their deaths in the lake. And the swineherds, when they saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. I'm sure they were pretty angry. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. This man who was freed of his demons was sitting, listening to Jesus with clothing on. And so you could rightly say that he was clothed with Christ. But perhaps most importantly, this man now had a new identity. He was a converted follower of Jesus Christ. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This man became an evangelist, to use our words, and he went through the city telling people about the kingdom of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to think about clothing in general, and perhaps in a more modern sense. In our world, people wear clothes to protect themselves from the elements and for modesty's sake, just like this demon-possessed man who lived among the tombs. There are many people throughout the world, and even in our own city of Aurora, who have no more clothing than what is on their backs. It is for these people that we offer the clothing giveaways and work with Aurora Warms the Night and the Aurora Interchurch Task Force. Well, for those of us who have more blessings and more clothing, like you and me, clothing can be an expression of our culture, an expression of our profession, even our own identity. Now, think about how you dress and how it may well express your individuality and who you see yourself as being. Think about how you dress when you want to impress people, like the times when you may have gone for a job interview. Think about how you dress when you want to get really dressed up, the way that people used to dress for church or to go out to dinner. Think about how you dress when you're at home and in your most relaxed time, watching TV or reading. Think about what it means to see the Ghanaians in their native attire or the Tongans in their traditional clothing. Think about what it means when I wear the clerical collar as I am today. Think about what it means when people treat clothing as an idol, when they become obsessed with how they look and how it reflects on themselves. Just as one small example, I know women who will not wear an outfit more than once. It's worth pondering. But I'm reminded here of another passage from Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? If then you're not able to do a small thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for His kingdom, and these things will be given you as well. My friends, I need to read this passage on a regular basis and remind myself of this good advice. All of us can so easily get wrapped up in the busyness and worries of our everyday lives and get concerned about what the clothing looks like. Finally, think about this story of the poor man from Luke, and think about the idea that clothing makes the man and clothing makes the woman. Listen again to what Paul had to say to the Galatian people, and what holds equal meaning for you and me. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. My sisters and brothers, think about that. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, you of little faith? You have clothed yourself with Jesus Christ. To be clothed with Christ means that you are protected. It means that you can find your true culture and your true identity and your true unity as a Christian person in a community of faith. Clothes make the person? Indeed. To be clothed with Christ means that you have eternal life starting here and now. Amen.